So tonight is kind of an odd topic. I'm going to talk about waiting and how do we wait. The reason I'm talking about this is because in the Christian calendar, yesterday was the first Sunday of Advent, this period before, the period leading up to Easter, Christmas. And Advent is a fascinating time because on the one hand, there's this waiting and a certain sense of penance or cleaning oneself out in preparation for waiting, but it's also a time of tremendous hope and joy. And it's there's really something quite beautiful about the you know, holding this hope and joy as you move into the dark time of the year. And so I was just intrigued by the themes of Advent and was thinking a lot about waiting and how do we wait and what does it mean to wait. And I'll say that, of course, there's a lot of waiting in all kinds of areas of our life, you know. Certainly if we're looking for a job, looking for housing, looking for a relationship, you know, there's all kinds of waiting in that. And sometimes when we get the apartment or get the job or get the relationship, then there's other kinds of waiting, you know, that sort of thing. And of course, there's a very real way that all of us are having this cultural experience of waiting out the pandemic. You know, we were waiting out the shelter in place and then that's over, but is it really over? And, you know, all that. And so there's a way that this time has really held up a mirror to us and has made us, forced us to look at the way we wait. So a lot of things to say about waiting. Sometimes when we're waiting for something. You know, sometimes in a period of waiting, we have a very definite story about the thing that we're waiting for. So we even get very attached to that story. And this can often lead to fantasy thinking. Fantasy, of course, stimulates the pleasure centers of the brain. So fantasy thinking is kind of like junk food for the brain. And there's a few problems with fantasy. One is that it's really not true at all often, you know. And I certainly, you know, have noticed the pattern in my own life that fantasy as well as worry, you know, I'll think, oh boy, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And then it comes and it's like, oh, that's it, you know, or this is going to be the worst thing ever, you know, and then, oh, that's all it was, you know, that often the fantasies or the worries have no information or exceeding legal information about what actually happens, you know. And often the really good things or really bad things in life just blindsided me anyway. I never saw them coming, and then I was just in the middle of them. So part of the problem of fantasy is that it's not true, and it kind of leads us astray. And it's also, a lot of fantasy is also very self-serving, tending to over-exaggerate my good points or my strengths and underappreciate, you know, all my weaknesses and failings. But a deeper problem of fantasy is that it takes us away from the present moment. It dulls our attention to the present moment. And it's very funny. Sometimes in waiting, people have the experience of either impatience or boredom. And both impatience and boredom, in a way, are pure resistance to presence, pure resistance just to being here with what is, you know. Often when I'm bored, I realize, and it doesn't happen too often that I'm bored, but when I'm bored, it doesn't take a whole lot of work to realize, oh, wait, there's a lot going on in the present moment that I really don't want to be with, you know. And there's also a quality to, how can I say, a quality to attention. We live in a society where people are so distracted that it's almost as if the standard we have is simply, is someone paying attention or not? Just this binary on or off, you know? We're not connoisseurs of attention. We're not aware of the different levels or the different states of attention, the different qualities of attention, the depths of it, of attention. The more alive and vital my attention becomes, the more alive and vital an experience of the world that I have. You know, so if I'm walking around very dull and distracted, I live in a dull, flat world. And there's not a whole lot to grab my attention. Then it's easy for me to weave this story about, well, I'm bored because everything out there is boring, you know. But the more sharp my attention is, the more the world almost sparkles with possibility. And then waiting takes on a very different character, you know. In other words, it's not the same, you know, test of endurance to wait when the world is full of magic. Albert Einstein once said, there are two ways to live, as if nothing is a miracle or as if everything is a miracle, you know. And this pandemic time, I think, is interesting because it's interesting when we think about how have we spent time in this pandemic? And what have we devoted ourselves to? Of course, a lot of people talk about the various shows that they binge, you know, the way that they lean heavily on the entertainment culture. And entertainment is very funny. You know, I often say entertainment's like chocolate. A little bit is fine, you know. If I'm eating pounds and pounds of chocolate a day, that's a problem, you know. A little bit of entertainment is fine, but if entertainment is the principal way I fill all my leisure time from the time I'm done with work to the time I go to bed, that's a problem. Entertainment is an industry designed to essentially to distract us, to keep our attention at a shallow level, to keep us attending to something unreal rather than what is in the present moment. And again, a little bit of that is fine. But if my world is that, then I'm never really touching ground. I'm never really touching the present moment. And similarly, with all the kinds of, you know, projects and hobbies and avocations and so forth that people have taken up in the pandemic, you know, and of course, there's some ways that people may take up a new project and learn from it and become a better person. You know, as always, it's a question of, I'm beginning a new activity or a new something, why am I beginning that? In beginning that, am I becoming more present, more aware, more aligned? Or am I doing it to escape? Am I doing it to distract myself from what I really don't want to deal with, you know? And sometimes it's both, you know? Sometimes it's a little of each, you know, because we're very complicated people that way. The paradox of the wisdom traditions is, I think all the wisdom traditions are in very much in agreement on this, is we don't need to wait. We have everything we need already, which is exactly the answer that ego doesn't want to hear, you know. We have everything we need for contentment. We have everything we need for deep happiness. A lot of it has to do with just the quality of our attention and the quality of our presence. Yeah, there's this wonderful verse from the Diamond Sutra where one of the bodhisattvas asks the Buddha, at the moment of enlightenment, what did you gain? And the Buddha said, absolutely nothing. You know, enlightenment is something already deeply present within all of us, you know, according to Buddhist teaching. You know, according to Christian teaching, God's grace is ever present. The Holy Spirit is ever present. You know, in all the traditions, really, the water of life is ubiquitous, and we just have to open our eyes to it. So I'll share the quote sheet now. First, I'll share it with the Zoomies. day I'm a teacher, so I always have handouts.
Thank you.
Okay. The lead quote is from The Four Quartets by T.S. Eliot. And I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope, for hope would be hope of the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. Yet there is faith, but the faith and the love and the hope are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you are not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be the light and the stillness the dancing. And I love that image of just getting below thought, getting to that place of stillness, and experience the kind of dancing energy of the world. And one of the things I also love about that Eliot quote, he talks about hope, but hope for the wrong thing. So often when we think of hope, we think of hoping for something. You know, but what does it mean to cultivate hope without expectation? Just the raw feeling of hope without attaching it to any story about what may or may not happen. And again, the more we have this experience of our own awareness and our own presence bringing the world alive, that itself is a source of hope. A famous line from John Milton: they also serve who will only stand and wait. This is from a sonnet that he wrote actually when he was in the middle of his life. He was very talented. He had written quite a bit already, and he had this tremendous conviction that he was going to write a great work of literature. And then he went blind, and it was a crisis for him in many ways. And he wrote this sonnet. And toward the end of the sonnet, he's talking about how God's angels are flying all over the creation. But then he has this closing line, they also serve, the angels also serve, who are just standing there and waiting. And the idea that even though he's in a place where he was just waiting at that moment in his life, he didn't know how he was going to move forward from that tragedy yet. He was waiting. But that was also, he realized, a kind of service, just to be in that waiting. From Alexander Dumas: all human wisdom is summed up in two words, wait and hope. Leo Tolstoy says, everything comes in time to he who knows how to wait. The Zen master Kodo Suwaki says, if you aren't careful, you'll spend your whole life doing nothing besides waiting for your ordinary person hopes to someday be fulfilled. I love that. I love this idea of, you know, what am I chasing? Am I just chasing ordinary person hopes? Kafka said, you need not leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. You need not even listen. Simply wait. You need not even wait. Simply learn to become quiet, still, and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet. Joseph Campbell said, we must be willing to get rid of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. The old skin has to be shed for the new one can come out. And ideally, that's what a lot of this pandemic time is doing for us. Helen Luke says, the true light never hides the darkness, but is born out of the very center of it, transforming and redeeming. And so to darkness we must return, each of us individually accepting his ignorance and loneliness, his sin, his weakness, and more difficult of all, consenting to wait in the dark and even to love the waiting. Anne Morrow Lindbergh, a remarkable woman who lost an infant child in a real tragedy. She wrote, the sea does not reward those who are too anxious, too greedy, or too impatient. To dig for treasure shows not only impatience and greed, but lack of faith. Patience, patience, patience is what the sea teaches. Patience and faith. One should lie empty, open, choiceless as a beach, waiting for a gift from the sea. An intense one from Carlos Castaneda. All of us, whether or not we are warriors, have a cubic centimeter of chance that pops out in front of our eyes from time to time. The difference between an average man and the warrior is that the warrior is aware of this, and one of his tasks is to be alert, deliberately waiting, so that when his cubic centimeter pops up, he has the necessary speed, the prowess, to pick it up. Wow. From Anne Frank, how wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. Susan Sontag said, do stuff, be clenched, curious, not waiting for inspiration shove or society's kiss on your forehead. It's about paying attention. Attention is vitality. It connects you with others. It makes you eager. Stay eager. Sister Macrina Whitaker says, holiness comes wrapped in the ordinary. There are burning bushes all around you. Every tree is full of angels. Hidden beauty is waiting in every crumb. Life wants to lead you from crumbs to angels, but this can only happen if you're willing to unwrap the ordinary by staying with it long enough to harvest its treasure. Clarissa Estes says, all that you are seeking is also seeking you. If you sit still, it will find you. It has been waiting for you a long time. A couple from Mark Nepo. He says, the further I wake into this life, the more I realize that God is everywhere and the extraordinary is waiting beneath the skin of all that is ordinary. Light is both in the broken bottle and the diamond, and music is both in the flowing violin and the water dripping from a drainage pipe. Yes, God is under the porch as well as on top of the mountain, and joy is both in the front row and the bleachers if we are willing to be where we are. He also said, we work so hard to get somewhere, to realize a dream, to arrive at some destination that we often forget that some satisfaction may be, that though some satisfaction may be waiting for us at the end of our endurance and effort, there's great and irreplaceable aliveness in the steps along the way. David White, in a seminar I attended last year, said, all of us feel as if we're in, he's talking about the shelter in place period. All of us feel as if we're some kind of emotional or psychological imprisonment, even if it's just at the edges. Some of us feel completely imprisoned and are waiting for the world to go on. Throughout human history, there's been a long chronology of people who have been confined and who have taken that time actually to come down to another foundation and to emerge from their exile, their imprisonment, braver and more articulate than they were before they were removed from the world. And certainly in our own age, we saw that very keenly with Nelson Mandela. Karen Mason Miller says, you don't have to wait for happiness because there's no time but now to be happy. You don't have to go somewhere else because there's no place but here to find it. You don't have to do something else because there's nothing more to it. You don't have to get something else because everything you already have is enough. You just have to be happy. And Jeff Foster says, this moment is not life waiting to happen, goals waiting to be achieved, words waiting to be spoken, connections waiting to be made, regrets waiting to evaporate, aliveness waiting to be felt, enlightenment waiting to be gained. No, nothing is waiting. This is life. This moment is life.